begin my my lesson from Psalm 12, asking you to look at the condition of our country. We're in trouble. I went on the online 9/28/15. The FBI released the 2014, which is the most recent statistics gathered of its annual report, crime in the United States. There were an estimated 1,165,383 violent crimes. Violent crime, murder, and non-negligent homicides. This is not a murder that happened by you not doing something. It happened by rapes, robberies, aggravated assault. Not just your nice assault, but an aggravated assault. And that were reported by law enforcement. So what was not reported, of course, was not recorded. Of this, 63.6% were aggravated assaults, 28% were robberies, 7.2% were rape, and 1.2% were murders. I worked that out. That comes out to 13,985 murders in 2014. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, in the 2014 STD, that's socially transmitted disease, that's your sexual disease, sexually transmitted disease. Their surveillance report, 3 nationally notified sexually transmitted disease, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, have increased for the first time since 2006, 1.4 million new reports of chlamydia, 350,062 new reports of gonorrhea, 19,999 of syphilis. Syphilis, one of those diseases that'll eat away the mind. The STDs continue to affect young people, particularly women, most severely, but increasing rates among men contributed to the overall increases of 2014 across all 3 diseases. 4 of the top 5 most violent cities in the United States are sadly not far from Indianapolis. They are in order: Detroit, Michigan; Oakland, California, farthest away; Flint, Michigan; Memphis, Tennessee; and St. Louis, Missouri. So, you know, we used to call this the Bible Belt, you know, not much good. Looked up record in 2015 of mass shootings. June 18th, 9 dead in Charleston, South Carolina. July 16th, 5 dead, 3 wounded, Chattanooga, Tennessee, down where the Browns are. October 1st, 9 dead, 9 injured, Roseburg, Oregon. November 29th, 3 dead, 9 injured, Colorado Springs. Beautiful, beautiful place in Colorado. December 2nd, 14 killed, 22 injured, San Bernardino, California. If you are news hounds, you'll remember some of those. Then on the evening of June 17th, 2015, 21-year-old Dylan Roof killed 9 people during a prayer service at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, where my daughter Eileen and her family live. So, things are bad. And those with the ear of the community are aiming at Christianity. Chris Matthews of MSNBC said, "If you're a politician and believe in God first, that's all good. Just don't run for government office. Run for church office. Keep Christianity where it's, you know, bound up where it's supposed to be." Mike Dickinson, a Virginia Democrat running for a House seat, said this. Said it proudly, talking about himself. "Want to decimate," decimate means to kill one out of every 10. The Tea Party want to decimate the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Bible thumpers and Fox News zombies, vote for me. I'll get that done. Monsignor Pope, writing a book about increasing persecution in America, said an increasing amount of litigation, taking people to court, is being directed against the church and other Christians for daring to live out our faith. It is clear that attempts to criminalize Christian behavior is a growth sector in this culture, and it signals the beginning of the deadly erosion of religious liberty. Many indeed feel quite righteous, quite politically correct in their work to separate the practice of the faith from the public square. Get it out of the public. Democrat presidential candidate Hillary Clinton told the 6th annual Women in the World Summit, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. David saw this going on in his day. Psalm 12 is a psalm for us to dwell in a bit. David cries for help, verses 1 and 2. Help, the King James margin says the word could be translated save. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, that's emptiness, that's foolishness. Every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart. A double heart is a translation of the Hebrew. They speak with an heart and a heart. So I guess double-hearted is a pretty good translation. Do they speak? You ever go to the grocery store and as you're going to the checkout line, you see all the newspapers and the magazines that are there, all dealing with deep, substantial, Kim Kardashian divorced again or something. You know, it's just all these things. You know, what is it? Vanity. Everyone with a neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. It's the social culture is what everybody's about. The fact that you have a man who is in everything but name a communist running for president of the United States, nobody's talking about that. Help, Lord. Ainsworth says help is used for all manner of helping. In other words, what David is asking for, David sees the extreme dangerous position, and he asks the Lord without specifying, you see. He's not saying help financially or help this or help that. He's just saying help. This is the thing, Lord, do everything to help. For the godly man ceaseth. The decline of godly men should drive us to greater prayer instead of despair. Look around, you say, they are failing. Now remember, Elijah thought himself the only servant of God alive. And God says, no, I've kept for myself thousands. Now, thousands in an area of Israel is not a lot, but it's thousands. So we remember that the present always seems particularly dangerous. However, Jesus reveals to us in the latter days, iniquity, sin shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. Love is what, when you honor someone other than self. So the opposite of that is self-centered selfishness. That's our world, you see. That's why our people of our music and of our movies and of our TV shows, that's who's important to us today. And, you know, the media understands that. So that's, they're feeding them the pablum that they're asking for. He says, the faithful fail from among the children of men. When godliness fails, faithfulness follows. We are seeing across the board in America, as David did, that those who seemed to once take a stand for God are capitulating. We're not going to be the ones to stand against these movements of the culture. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. The ungodly speak of the frivolous, the foolish, and the false. With flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak. Charles Spurgeon said, he who puffs up another's heart has nothing better than wind in his own. The Bible's pretty clear. Be careful when people are flattering you. You pretty ladies, remember that when somebody tells you you're pretty, you didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, you washed the dirt off your face. You know, you combed your hair, grant you that. But your mom and dad, your heritage, and God himself gave you that. To praise you for that is actually flattery. And flattery, the Bible pictures, is laying a net for your feet. They want you snared up in that. They want you to be attracted to the flatterer. Praise is where they praise you for something you had something to do with. A character quality, a choice you made, you see. I have praised a woman for the diligence of taking care of her long hair. And I praised it like that because I didn't want this just to sound like flattery, but that I was impressed. This lady had hair clear down past her waist. And I had seen her a few times and always very neatly done and so on. And I praised her about that. But that was praise, not flattery. Flattery is the sign on the store where deceit is being served. So watch out for that. Recognize it. You can say thank you with a smile, and in your heart you're saying, I got to watch out for that person. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Let's not be the simple. 1 Thessalonians 2:5, for neither at any time used we flattering words. Paul says, that's my testimony. And you can imagine this fiery preacher. All the people that had heard him preach say, yeah, that's right, no flattering word. We didn't hear any flattering words. As ye know, he says, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. We didn't come in and say, here we have this great religion thing and you can be rich and famous and all you have to do is give us money, just as a cloak for covetousness. So David cries for help. Let us learn from this. In a day when America is going to hell, let's not go with them. Let's cry for help. Let's take this to God. Secondly, David cries for justice, because in this, and as we were looking at the news there, we saw that now that they pretty much had their way socially, the attention is turning back to those of us they see as holding them back from going even further. We're the problem now, see? So David cries for justice. In verses 3 and 4, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud, literally great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Our lips are with us. Who is Lord over us? the mocking tone that says, there is no God to tell me what to do. We were over at my son's house, my wife giving piano lessons over there. The little girl had a baseball game. And so they normally come to our house, but we were over there so they could leave, go to the baseball game. But while we were waiting during the piano lesson, he showed me a video that he has. Man named Comfort, sounds like an Australian accent, was interviewing a number of people, and it starts out, you go from person to person to person, finally you begin to recognize these faces. Not recognize them like you knew them, but you see them again and again. And he says, so are you an atheist? Yes, I'm an atheist. Are you an atheist? Yes, I'm an atheist. And the one lady said, well, an atheist says there is no God, but that would be hard to prove, so the better term is agnostic. I'm an agnostic. So. And then finds out that they completely believe in evolution. And so then he asks them repeatedly, could you give me, because the scientific method is showing something that is observable and repeatable. So he says, could you give me some evidence, show me some evidence that you have that Darwinian evolution is true, not just a change within a kind, but the change of one animal to another kind. And they said, oh, sure. Darwin saw this with the finches. And he said, oh, what did the finches become? And they said, well, of course, they were still finches. He said, no, I want evidence that they've changed to another kind. And I say all that to say that these people, and then they came to, the proof has been shown with the bacteria, that they've changed entirely. He says, well, so what are they now? Well, they're still bacteria. He says, an evidence of change of kind. And then person after person after person, having been brought to this, having spouted out all these things that they had heard, they realized that this was not scientific evidence. And they're going, I'm really going to have to think about that. I really can't think of anything right now. This is the battle that they think they've won by their tongue. There's no evidence. No evidence. David says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. They believe they are supreme who speak the most. But their words will fall flat before the one who comes to judge. The one who knows the truth. When they stand before the one who knows the truth, all those words fall pretty flat. Matthew 12:36. But I, Jesus talking, say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And it is Christ who is the judge at all of the last judgments. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. This is speaking of the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. James 3:5-6, talking about how the problem with the tongue. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter, or how great of wood, a little fire kindleth. How much forest has fallen to a little fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course, or the wheel, of nature, and is set on fire of hell. This word for hell is Gehenna, the lake of fire, the place of final punishment. 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. People who had been rescued out of sin, these false teachers lure them back in with their great swelling words of vanity. Jude 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They know who to kowtow to. They know who to flatter. They know who don't rile up the guy with the money, see? Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking, this is the Antichrist again, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's a long time, but it's a limited time. And David said, the time will come when justice will prevail. God loves his sons, the ones that he's brought into the family. And he sees the attack of sin as an attack on them. This is why God's wrath grows. As any parent senses the wrath of a disease or of a bully or whatever that's attacking your family, God's wrath attacks and brings justice to those who attack his family. We find in verse 5 that Jehovah promises action. Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him, or would ensnare him. When King Jesus comes to save his own from the Antichrist and the devil, he sets them in safety. He brings them to a place of safety. And he rejoices to declare his brothers as sons of God. He says, I bring them to a place of safety and own them as my own. James 5:4, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The hosts here is the host of the army of heaven. And you don't want to make him angry. So he says to those who are cheating God's own, he says, the time will come when God, who hears this and knows this, will answer for this. Again, Jehovah's promise is true. God promises that action, and here is that sense that we can trust that word. Verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. The Hebrew, you will preserve him, that is every one of them, looking at each one individually, from this generation forever. Preserving his own from this generation of wickedness. What a contrast between the vain words of man and the pure words of Jehovah. We who may cringe in fear of the evil words of men can take courage by the pure words of Jehovah God. God preserves his word from the hands of an evil generation, and he preserves his people. Try as they will to erase the word of God, it stands unbroken. Matthew 3:7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he, John the Baptist, said unto them, O generation of vipers. That sounds almost dignified. He's saying, you brood of snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We will be revealed as the sons of God. Jude, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James, to them that are sanctified, made holy by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called to be family members. He closes then Psalm 12 in verse 8. David laments the pre-judgment time. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men, the sons of the men, are exalted. He says, Lord, this is a tough time. The wicked walking free, the vilest men are being exalted. Here we return to seeing the moral decay that made the psalmist run to God's throne in the first place. When those in power are vile, their servants are no better. Let us pray that the glory and triumph of our Lord Jesus will strengthen us. We know it's going to happen, you see. Let's pray that it will strengthen us to walk and work on every side. We are not to hide in the upper room. But by the empowering of the Holy Spirit to stand and preach. Let us love and labor. The sight of His reigning power, embraced that day, gives us the strength and determination to meet the evils of our time. All the more hopefully we pray, help, Lord. Help, Lord. It's not a hopeless prayer. It's saying, we know you're going to do it. Do it now. Bring your help in. Listen to the scripture, Proverbs 1:16. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Proverbs 4:16. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have done they cause some to fall. Proverbs 6:18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Isaiah 59:7. Their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction or breaking are in their paths. Micah 2:1, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is the power of their hand. Evil has power over those who don't do it. And Romans 3:15, their feet are swift to shed blood. John Calvin said this, a man who suffered persecution himself, chased from one country to another. It commonly happens that as diseases flow from the head into the members, so corruptions proceed from princes and infect the whole people. And he had to suffer with that himself. Are we in trouble in America? Yes. Are we confused about it? I don't think so. We see that that's the way of the world. And without the work of God, some great revival, some change in these people, it's going to continue. So are we to say there's nothing we can do? Well, no. We know exactly what we can do. First, we call out to God, help, Lord. Do not sin against this country by failing to pray for it. Spend some time pleading with the Lord. Hezekiah took the threatening letter from the Assyrians, spread it out before the Lord. A dramatic move. God already knew about it. But he's saying, here, you can read it for yourself. This is what I have to deal with. You can do that with your newspaper. Point to the internet news. Take this before God. Be concerned. not just for yourself, but for the country. Then, change these people. How do you do that? Not by electing the right president. Change the people by witnessing to them and seeing their souls saved. Saved people act differently. You have that ability given to you as an ambassador for your king, as an ambassador for your country, as an ambassador of the grace of God. Win these people to the Lord. Win them. So, look around at the condition of our country. Cry out, help, Lord. Long for his righteousness and justice to prevail. But in the meantime, let's labor and pray for God's work. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you might open our hearts to the need and not be hesitant to admit that we are in great trouble, that the country is on the road to a hell that they don't expect. They think it's some utopia. They think it's some freedom from religion, freedom from the rules of God. And there is no freedom in this. It is a bondage. The results are in. The violent crime is up. Sexually transmitted diseases are up. And the attitudes about Christianity is spawning mass murder and emboldening people running for office to target Christians to encourage the rest of the country to join in with them. We ask, Father, you might turn our hearts to thee. Help us to recognize that we have in thee a power that cannot be defeated. We have with you a love for us that will not let any harm come to us that in itself is not good for us. Bringing tears and pain, it may, but as we are weaned from the love of the world, as we are drawn more and more to our single-hearted love for you, this is a good thing. We pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.